Time being 5:47, I would like to call the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting for May 21st, 2025 to order. The meeting is held in the municipal building, council chambers, the second floor. Note to all residents, all citizens are welcome to attend public meetings in person. To view the live meeting remotely, citizens are encouraged to watch the live stream on Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel or the live broadcast on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. Meetings are also archived by Franklin TV on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel and shown on repeat on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. For those of you who missed the live meeting, to listen to the meeting, oh, for those of you who missed the live meeting, you can stream it. To listen to the meeting remotely, citizens may call in using the number 1-929-205-6099. This will not permit participation in the meeting. To participate in the meeting remotely, citizens are able to join a Zoom webinar using the information provided on the EDC agenda that's on the town website. The Zoom webinar ID number is 820-5364-8422. Any participants who wish to speak during the webinar must enter their full name and email address when joining the webinar. All participants will be automatically muted upon joining the webinar. In order to speak, participants who have entered full name and email address will need to select the raise hand function to request to be unmuted. All speakers will be required to state their full name and street address before commenting. Tonight, all the members of the EDC are in the council chambers. We are all live together, and Glenn Jones has joined the crew. Thank you, Glenn.
Anytime.
Happy to help.
And we have Kobe Frangillo and Patrick Sheridan as well. Tonight, we are going to talk about the home occupation zoning bylaw amendments and we have Kathy Liberty and Amy Love with us. And Jamie, would you like to start, or do we just hand it over?
Very quickly, Madam Chair. One of the council, and I don't need to tell you this, but since you've been the
You can tell everybody.
Leading advocate for this for several years at least. We have a proposal here to add in a definition of residential commercial kitchen into our town bylaws, which I'll just read for the record. Residential commercial kitchen space primarily for preparing, cooking, and producing food for off-premises consumption and or sales. The residential commercial kitchens is an allowed use of a unit if serviced by an on-site subsurface sewage disposal system. Is that the tank? Connection to public sewer is prohibited. And then the second part of this, Madam Chair, as you know, is the use table. I just want everybody to know that, because I think a lot of people may say, well, all of downtown commercial is sewer. It's actually not. So there are a few parcels in R5, downtown commercial, and a couple of the other zoning districts. So we put a yes across the whole use table in residential districts. And there's a footnote down there that says, see limitation of the definition, which is, even if you're on private septic in any residential district, you are then eligible for this to be a use on your property.
Right.
So I think we had thought maybe just R1 and 2 might be the spaces, but actually when the town engineer went to go look at the map, there are parcels in almost all the residential districts that have that. And then finally, the Board of Health fee. Give Kathy and the Board of Health a lot of credit. They're maintaining the same amount, they're proposing the same $100 that would be for every other inspection. So Amy Love and Kathy Liberty are generous to be here with us tonight if anybody has any questions.
Come on up. Yeah, I think I like the idea that to have it in all the residential districts because, I mean, we don't know if everybody's on. I mean, you guys know how many people are on septic, how many people are on sewer, but there could be somebody else on septic. I know that this is kind of a compromise that we've worked out, and it's kind of a test case, I think, to see how many people do this, how much water they use, and maybe it'll get increased further. But it's a great place to start. I think I appreciate everyone for all your compromise on this. And so the $100 fee is the same as a food truck or in a commercial kitchen. Is that?
Yeah.
That's for the inspection, right?
No, for the permit application.
For the permit.
Yeah. Okay. And so I surveyed the surrounding towns, and the average was $100 as well.
Okay. For a home occupation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so does that, you still have to go inspect?
Correct. But we don't charge inspection fees. We just charge for the application.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Patrick?
So could somebody in the downtown area get off the public sewer and get it on if they wanted to? Was that not allowed?
You mean if they not have to have a septic?
Yeah. Could they get one if they wanted to? Was that not allowed?
Probably not. You'd have to, it'd be very expensive.
Yeah.
Probably lose property value. I
don't think, once you're tied into, you can't, yeah.
Ah, interesting. Okay. If this does continue when we decide that people need, if you're on sewer and maybe you need some sort of grease trap, it would be less expensive to put a grease trap in than to put your own septic.
It probably be cheaper to buy a house else.
Yeah, right. Anything else?
Well,
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the time. I appreciate being here.
Well, welcome back.
It's fun to be back on the board. I'm used to chair back almost 10 years ago. It's good to be back. Kathy, first of all, I haven't seen you in a while, so I wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you for all of the hard work that you do on behalf of the town of Franklin. I mean, you've been key and pivotal helping out with the migrants at the hotel, as well as all of the various businesses in town that you somehow mysteriously keep track of. You do that like Wonder Woman,
as far
as I'm concerned. Thank you for all the hard work that you do. And Amy, who I haven't seen since the master plan, how you doing, my friend? Madam Chair, just a couple quick points through you probably to Jamie. Number one, since according to the use regulation schedule, this is listed as residential commercial kitchen, but yet, and I understand the logic in C1, C2, DC, B1, and B, but my first question is why aren't we including mixed business innovative zone, and that is actually kind of a great spot to include these kind of commercial kitchen locations, right? Like down at the.
I think that's completely sewered. So I think that one, I mean, we can add it, they just won't be eligible.
And we have the shared kitchens. And
we
have the shared kitchens.
So she just literally just said to me in my ear a second ago, she's like, and the commercial kitchen by law is now.
Right. So
that particular zoning district, I think had even the commercial shared spaces in there before the recent bylaw attempt. So as we're talking it out, I think it's already eligible.
Okay. No, I was just curious, just like a clarification on that.
Well, I mean, what Glenn means is the residential people in that area, right? Residential housing.
But they're all in a different zoning district. MBI are just those
it's
few
just parts. Those parcels.
Those Clark Cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's none there.
Okay.
That's what the answer is. There's really no houses there.
Cool. Those residential districts that are going to be R, single family 4A, maybe GR5, either one, they would fit into one of these other categories where it's, yes. Mm-hmm. So Fisher Street, Hayward Street, they would all fit in that.
They're area. In a different.
They're in a residential zone.
Okay.
So only one further question, Madam Chair. You probably know the answer to this one. Is there a square footage limitation?
I don't believe so.
No.
It's just whether you have public sewer or not.
Yeah.
Because we felt like if you're not on public sewer, like, that's up to you. Like, it's pretty laissez-faire, right? Like, it's just, you know, if you're 5 acres, okay, you can do this. If you're a half acre, you can do it too. I do think logistically, trucks driving up and different things are gonna be different in smaller parcels. Smaller parcels, you're gonna be able to produce less. Obviously, if you have 15 acres or 10 acres, you may be able to do a little bit more if you have a barn or something like that. So, but there's no square footage requirement that I'm aware of, unless Amy is aware of something that I don't think so, right? Yeah.
That's about it. Other than that, I think it's a good idea.
So this is really for people before they go to rent the shared commercial, right? So this is for like a small person. Even when you think about like Councilor Pellegrini, I thought one of the last meetings we had, she about the shared commercial kitchen, she asked, is this like somebody could do stuff at home? And we're like, no, this is, you know, this is, this was for a real commercial kitchen that other, that people can share.
Right.
This is actually what Debbie asked us about.
That's right.
Right, does this not go back to our chocolate maker friend?
Yes.
But there's a lot of other people that have asked about it. There's a person recently, he was gonna zoom in, but he's probably putting his kids to bed or taking care of his kids tonight, who wants to be able to do it. A lot of the farmers have asked to be able to do it. And so there's a lot of people that do a little baking, a little pickle making or something in their jam making in their home. Mm-hmm. And they want to be able to sell it and do it in their own home, but also have the Board of Health check out and make sure it's clean and to make sure that it's get a stamp of approval.
Okay, right. Sorry to bring up one more question. Just bring myself up.
Did I answer that question okay?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Just bring myself up on a few more things just to be clear.
I know.
Are we limiting the amount of applications or applicants per residential zone? In other words, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 per residential zone? Is it 1 per neighborhood? Is it 1?
Nothing.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Nothing.
Right.
Just as long as you meet the definition criteria.
Okay. I think if it was, we did talk about that if people were on the town sewer, to limit it so we wouldn't have any grease clogs, right? But this is, it goes into their own septic.
Just curious.
Kathy, you have something to add? You're like.
Well, I think through the chair, I just want to make it clear that residential kitchens can only make cottage foods, and that those type of foods are not temperature controlled. So they can't just go and make, you know, steaks and sell them. It's more baked goods. So there is a restriction on the type of food that they can make.
Right.
So I just wanted to make that clear.
No filet mignons?
No filet mignons.
That's good. And they
no
can't.
No caramelized onions to go with that?
No produce.
Well, no, I think that is a good clarification.
Yeah, it's good. And it's also, you can't, like, cook the food that you put in a food truck, you still have to go to a commercial, a full commercial kitchen.
Right.
Anything else?
Thank you for the
Kobe?
Clarification.
Thank you for this. I mean, this is great. Obviously, notable progress. Why, in the end, did we decide against allowing for the use of sewage just at a strict cap that we felt comfortable with?
I think largely that's hard to enforce. And there already are conflicts between people who leave their water on and their hose and get charged too much money in water, and then there's sewer backups. It's always the town's fault, even though it's like in their house. There's a lot of pointing fingers, and I think as Councilor Hamlin said earlier, you know, I mean, this is kind of opening up 30% of the town, which is substantial. You kind of see how it goes. I think some of the protections that we would need to put in for the sewer district and the sewer system would be significant. So you might have to put in a grease trap in your house. We band-aid that everybody else puts one in. So then how would a residential homeowner get off? you're unquestionably at some point going to get into kerfuffles between, you know, what people dump down the sink, the toilet, into the system, clogging things up, having to have to go out. You know, there's a fee associated with that. The DPW go out, you know, on certain stuff. People hate fees. There's just a lot of conflict that would arise. And I think the biggest piece is the town of Franklin, not only just the Beaver Street Interceptor, but over the 20 years, has made a remarkable improvement with the water and sewer pipes and cleaning them out, I&I, all that progress. And if you open it up carte blanche, you could really probably go pretty far back on that progress. And then getting into enforcement is really hard. I think Kathy, Brutus, Doug kind of all felt like we already have so much enforcement that we're doing that is hard to police. It's just another thing that would be challenging to enforce. And then the last thing I'd say is also, I think, you know, as you kind of take baby steps with this, you know, also like shipping to homes, you know, trucks on roads, we hear complaints about speeding and all these issues. So I think it's just a salad bowl of stuff, Councilor Fadillo, about, you know, where the concerns kind of were as to why not just free range everywhere.
Yeah, I get that, you know, incremental progress, open up some things, let's see how it goes and we can go. I just, you know, I was quickly seeing what other communities, and Canton, Framingham, Beverly, you know, somewhat similar communities to us, Brookline, have residential retail kitchens without a septic mandate. Now they have a lot more extensive rules around,
right.
So you know that's sort of the trade-off. But you know, I don't know. Just keeping in mind that it's doable and that, you know, that's still a substantial portion of the population that we want to. You know, we recognize this as an economic development benefit and you know, a benefit to our residents. So. Continue to find out, you know, opportunities for everyone to have access to this would be great. But yeah,
let's try to get. I'll try to ask Doug and Brutus to talk to the sewer commissioner. You know, some of those communities, just to see like what are those rules, how do they referee it?
Yeah.
How do they keep track of it?
How do you keep track of it and enforce it? I'm guessing they have far greater, also, bandwidth. Truly, you know. You know, to be able to handle some of that, and it's probably been going on for a long time before it's been like a recent more fad in the last 10-20 years. As we know, some people in Franklin have been doing this for probably 30 or 40 years, so yeah. But we'll reach out to, you said Brookline, Framingham, and
I think Canton stands out.
Canton,
Beverly, you know,
Beverly.
That's it. Thank you. That's great.
And one of the other things I want, thank you, Councilor Frangillo, one of the other things I wanted to mention was that, you know, when people start to worry about like truck deliveries and things like that, it's like by that time this person is making so much that they've moved to one of the commercial kitchens that we've allowed in town, and so I don't think that's going to be a problem. If that does become an issue, then we have to try to get them to go to a commercial kitchen or something, right? But there are ways to do it. I'm glad that we're taking this first step. I'm really excited about it. And I know everybody came to the table with different ideas or different, like, where stop, places where they want to stop, but we've gone through and kind of all compromised a lot. And I want to thank you both. And Brutus, I know he, and Doug, they're probably, because I think it's just the start. It's a proof of concept, and when we see what people do, how much they use, you know, how much water, extra water they use, we'll be able to figure out what the numbers are that might work here in Franklin. That's kind of how I look at it. Okay? Anybody else, anything else?
Who are you, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Jamie, would this require separate metering, potentially for receiving water?
Yes, paid water.
Okay, just curious. I didn't know if the homeowner wanted to allow for a separate metering just so they can separate.
Track.
Yeah, just to kind of separate the two.
Yeah,
that two costs, the house, water.
If I may, through the chair, sub-metering is usually used for a landlord and tenant, and in this case, there are special recommendations as to the water saver supplies in the house. So I'm not really sure that you can sub-meter for something like this.
Okay.
But I can do a little legwork for you if I can.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be a useful thing to have if I were running a small commercial type of kitchen in my own house, just to kind of meter the water separately. And just, I'm looking at that from a fiduciary perspective, less than a water perspective, more of keeping track of what water's going where for what use. Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Okay, so.
Ed and Marion Sinsky.
Oh, are they on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't see them. Ed or Marion, are you there? Do you want to say something? Yes. Hi.
This is Marion. Marion Shemansky, 529 Pleasant Street. I just wanted to thank this committee for taking this big step. This is a really great thing. I think this is going to let a lot of homeowners begin to start their dream of perhaps having a small home business to supplement their income. And I think it's going to be a really good step for the winter and summer farmers markets. It's going to let them offer even more products and produce and goods to the public that come to the market. So thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you for tuning in, and welcome. Yes, that's what I say, you know, you have a good idea, you never give up, right? So should we move them all at once?
What do you want to move and accept?
I would accept a motion to move bylaw amendment 259X3, chapter 82, fees and municipal service, to the town council.
So
moved. Is there a second? Second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Yeah. On to the council for that one. I would accept a motion to move bylaw amendment 25-9X2, a zoning bylaw to amend the Franklin Town Code at chapter 185. I can't read today. Attachment 8, use regulation schedule part 7, accessory uses.
So moved.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? You didn't say aye.
I said aye.
Okay. Oh my God, I didn't hear him. I would accept the motion to move zoning bylaw amendment 25-9X1, changes to section 185-3, definitions.
So moved.
To the town council.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any more discussion? I'll do that part thing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so they pass on to the town council. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kathy and Amy. And thank you all for watching. Thank you, Mary and Ed. We'll see you soon, I'm sure.
I think.
Motion to adjourn.
Not debatable.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.